And Simenshin and Chas Sefir Beis. Machaber says, Karpif Beis Shlosha Sa'in Vekerim Imenu Beis Sa'af. If you have a Karpif that's the size of three Sa'in and you cover one Sa'af of it with a roof, Mutar Afilim Makerim Meshupa. Even if it's slanted, that area is now Mutar because Pitekar Yor Vesosim. We assume that the end of the roof that you put in comes down and it's like there's a Mechitza between one Sa'af and the two Sa'as and therefore you don't have an area of Sa'asayim. The reason the Mechaber says, even if it's slanted, is because in Siman Shin Samech Aleph Siv Beis, we'll see that the Mechaber says that we don't apply P-Tikr when the roof is slanted, and the Achornim differentiate and say, here it's different because Min HaTorah, it's really Rosh HaSayachah completely, because it's surrounded from four sides, just like Chachamim made a Gzera of Karpef, and therefore they were Mekel on P-Tikr even when it's slanted, as opposed to over there, where it's talking about a problem even on a Doraisa level. Sif Yud Gimel, Karpef Beis HaSayim Mitzumtzam, if it's exactly Sasaim area, the chatzar shenifritzu bimulam zelazan, you have a chatzar that's open to that area, hakarpif aser, vimnesha makom mechitza miyatro venasa yoser al sasaim. So now the karpif becomes aser as well, because since there's no mechitza there anymore, the area becomes more than a sasaim, meaning the area that the wall was there counts towards the karpif, and it's now more than a sasaim. The mechaber says that really the chatzar is also aser because it's open into that area. If you have a karpif that's larger than sasaim that was not surrounded for purposes of dira, and you made an opening to it, and you made a new mechitza, yoser me'asara, more than 10 away, so this is a case that we discussed in Siv Vav, where adding on a wall for dira purposes, if it's 10 away from the original wall, now makes it hukaf ledira. Shal yadeh abad lamechitza rishona shalaisa l'shem dira. V'achakach naf lamechitza achrona, and now the wall that you put up falls, chozer lisur, so now it returns to being usher again. We don't say that once the karpif became mutter, it remains mutter forever. Rather, it is chozer li'isuro. So now we finished up the halachas of karpif, so let's just summarize. We have a bunch of different examples of where we could find karpif in our times. So a couple of examples, large storage yards outside the city, a farm during the growing season, a backyard vegetable garden covering most of a large fenced-in yard, lakes, creeks, ponds, wetland area, marshes, swamps, cemeteries, discussions about gardens and parks, zoos, empty areas. Basically, what it comes down to is that in most situations, most communities are going to have an area of a karpif. And the best thing to do would be to exclude it somehow. You know, of a community where they had a lake and a park, a pond and a park, and it was excluded, and you weren't allowed to go into that area. They used the telephone poles around it to act to exclude, as a tzur of Pesach, to exclude that area from the air so that it didn't cause any problems. However, that changed at a certain point when that area seemed to have fallen down, and they decided to rely upon leniencies not to exclude the pond, such as if it's used for boating or laundry or fishing and things like that, which we suggested that the Rashba and others are more lenient and allow you to say that even if it's not used for drinking, if it's just used for laundry or fishing or something like that, that would be good enough, together with the opinion of the Dvar Shmuel that a karpef in a big city does not cause a disturbance, only in a smaller area. And that's what we have said, that the Bar Halacha quotes the Dvar Shmuel, but many disagree with it, but that seems to be what many poskim rely upon, is this Dvar Shmuel. The Mishnah Berurah said not to rely on the Dvar Shmuel, the Chazon Ish said not to rely on the Dvar Shmuel, and other poskim as well say not to rely on, but it seems that most of the cities do rely on this, because most cities have an area in it of a wooded area or something like that, which people don't actually walk through. If it's a park which has flower beds or something, so you can say that the people are walking through it, it's there for beauty, etc. But otherwise, you wouldn't be able to say it, and therefore you have to rely on this Dvar Shmuel. Yosef Gavriel Bechofer, in his contemporary Erev, quotes his Dvar Shmuel as someone that most rely on, but says that we really shouldn't rely on it in modern urban settings, because most say it's only when there are actual walls around the city. He quotes another heter of the Divrei Malkiel, but says that that's also should only be relied on in a Shas Adchak. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Yashiv, many were not happy with relying on this Dvar Shmuel. However, Rav Yashiv did say that an Erev should be constructed even if isolating their karpefos within the city is impossible, because an Erev will prevent people from carrying without any partitions, which is obviously much worse, so better rely on this Dvar Shmuel than not have any Erev at all. Again, we said, Moshe says that recreational parks are not karpifos, and the trees and ponds within the parks are not karpifos, because they enhance the appearance of the park. Streams that are used for swimming or wading during the summer are also not categorized as karpifos and will be okay. Rav Moshe did hold that cemeteries are karpifos, and therefore they would need to be blocked off, but others held that cemeteries are not problematic. In The Laws of an Erev by Francis and Rav Glanner, they conclude that there's really most Erevin have at least one karpif, or a questionable karpif, within the area, and trying to block off all the karpifos would be very difficult. So first they suggest paths should be made through the karpifos at regular intervals so that it splits it to be less than a sasayim. Some poskim allow the use of certain questionable tzuras of Pesach, such as tachov, in order to isolate a karpif, and if that's not possible, there may be other mitigating factors to permit the karpif, such as occasional recreational use or aesthetic practical function. So Rav Heineman has said that you should put a remote control boat or something, or go in a canoe on the water if you want to knock out that from being a karpif, and overgrown grass, try and have some aesthetic purpose to it, that it's there for beauty. But in a lot of situations, we end up relying on this Dvar Shmuel in the end, even though it's not the best opinion and the most accepted opinion to rely upon. So again, as we'll see as we go through Hilchos Erevin, there are many kulas that are relied upon when it comes to the communal Erevin, and this is just one of the many that it will be better, if not necessary, to have to rely on an Erevin to not care if you don't need to, because we'd rather not rely on this Dvar Shmuel if we don't need to.